Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so nice to see everyone here this morning, and yesterday was extremely busy around here, but there was a lot of happiness that Kim is going to share with you. The craft and art Winter Wonderland went very, very well, and she has news to tell you. But I have good news to share with you as well. What will prove to be a blessing for our church in working towards being the affirming, inclusive church, as well as falling very nicely into our vision of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. At the beginning of October, we received an email. It was sent by Imo Yango, the Growth Coordinator for Emerging Migrant Communities of Faith at the General Council Office of the United Church. He was inquiring about the possibility of using our church space for a fellowship group in Cornwall. An emerging migrant community of faith that is Swahili speaking. Imo from the General Council Office will be guiding the growth activity as a church plant or an emerging new church activity within the United Church. The Swahili speaking community of faith consists of four couples right now and about three or four children. And they meet in a member's apartment, but they want to grow their community of faith, just as we all do, and are looking for space to rent. So, last week, before, a contract was signed between Knox St. Paul's and the Swahili-speaking faith community of Cornwall and the General Council Office of the United Church. Woo-hoo. This means the Swahili faith community will start using the downstairs as their worship area on Saturdays starting November the 23rd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will be receiving $300 a month for the use of the downstairs hall, and it will be paid for by the General Council Office. This is something that is really historic for Knox St. Paul's, because we have never been in on an emerging new church starting within the United Church. And we hope this relationship will blossom in time as we welcome them into our building and we get to know each other. So I think this is a celebration time and a time to just clap and say, this is wonderful news. It really, really is. There is no Sunday school this morning. The children after the children's time will be at the back table, and there are activities there for you. And another thing that we want to share with you is we have started an Affirm team as we work towards becoming an affirming church. And we have wanted this since 2019. So we are on our way. There's lots of things that we do that make us an inclusive and welcoming church. But there is much more to learn. And so, on December the 1st, after church, we are going to have a lunch and learn, and with soup and that. And we hope that everybody will join us to be on this first occasion to start celebrating what we want to become as an affirming church. It's good news, too, about the Feed My Sheep. They have gotten lots of donations, and it's making it a lot easier for them to feed those when they, on statutory holidays, when they make the lunches. Now, for even more exciting news, here comes Kim.
We'll call this Good News Day.
Good morning, everyone. I am Kim Baird, for those who are new to the church this morning. Yesterday was an amazing, awesome day. It was our, as Carolyn alluded to, our art and craft winter wonderland. Thank you everyone who helped set up, tear down, baked, cooked, brought donations, and came out of their time to help sell the baked goods and deli items. Big thanks to Treasurer Lynn, our UCW Treasurer.
Back right hand corner.
Left or right? Hi there. She had the chore of counting all the loose change and the bills. But it was a great day. So, when we left yesterday, we had raised at the Bacon Deli $1,327. Woohoo! With the cash that hadn't come in yet, and we've already started selling what's left, we're at $1,400. We have $1,000 right now from vendors, so right now we're at $2,400 for yesterday's event. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, wearing my hat, we don't have many sweet stuff left to sell, but we have some delicious fish chowder, beef barley soup, carrot soup, and broccoli soup. So please, on your way out, all you need to do is heat them up for lunch or dinner, and you're all set to go. And for the ladies of the church, actually, even men, if they're welcome to come, mark your calendars on December 10th. That is when our Christmas luncheon will be taking place. And starting next week, we'll have official invitations to everyone. Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, welcome to worship. And so as we gather this morning, we take the time to acknowledge that we are situated on the traditional lands of the Unkwehonwe. We acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land, and we at Knox St. Paul's are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect.
Thank you.
Let's join in the call to worship. The call to worship resounds in our lives. We are called out.
Challenged to recognize the shortcomings in our lives by our God,
who is all merciful and forgiving.
We are called upon.
Encouraged to serve our compassionate God, to acknowledge the injustice in our world, and to seek to push back against it.
We are called in.
Invited to worship our generous God, whose arms are always open, whose embrace is always waiting to uphold us in love. Come, let us answer that call.
So as we answer that call, as we join together in worship, we acknowledge that we are partners and participants in the work of God.
Together we are committed to helping build a city where no one dreams alone.
So let's take a moment and ground ourselves in prayer. Holy God, we turn to you in faith, trusting that by day and by night you keep us and guide us. This day as we worship you, meet us here and help us to build a community of peace and healing. Show us how to embody your hope in this world. Encourage and empower us to carry on, so that when life gets tough, the faith and hope we have in you makes a difference in our lives and in the world around us. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing. You may stand as you're able or stay seated as you need. We'll sing God is Here.
May we find in full.
Let's turn to God with our prayer of confession, knowing that God waits for us with that joy of forgiveness. Let's pray. Holy One, Father and Mother to us all, gather us under your wing as a hen gathers her chicks. Give us sanctuary from the world that shapes us in ways that are not life-giving. When we are tempted and follow the ways of the world, forgive us. When we do not trust your voice, reassure us. When we fail to notice the signs of your Spirit, open our spirits. When we are blessed to be your children, help us to be a blessing to you and to your dream for all of creation. Amen. Friends, there is good news, and that good news is this. God never washes God's hands of us. God is faithful, with us through trouble and healing us in grief. When we failed, we have a shoulder to cry on and a voice to help guide us. Our judge is also our hope, and God never gives up. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join together in saying, "Come touch our hearts." So if you want to join me, I have a story. Ooh, who do you have? Puppy? Is that his name? Or he doesn't have a name. That's okay. How about you? Snakey. Oh, I'm glad they joined us. And I'm glad you joined us. So I have a story that's called People Are More Important. Jesus and his friends had been in the temple most of the day. They had been praying to God and talking to people and helping them how to learn to live in God's way. Now, as we talk about the temple in Jesus' day was a place where people went to worship, kind of like we do here. But it was huge, this massive, massive building that was gorgeous and brand new. Can you think of any buildings that are so huge like that? No? What about you guys?
Eiffel Tower?
The Eiffel Tower? It's huge.
The Colosseum.
What are other places? Other buildings are massive. The church? Mansions, yeah.
Empire State Building.
Empire State Building. So I don't think it was quite as high as some of those places, but it was this massive place, and people looked at it with wonder. And so as they were going out of the temple, Andrew ran his hand along this, the big smooth stones of the wall of the temple. And he turned to Jesus and he said, "Look at these huge stones, Jesus. How do you think they ever got them here? And look at how many buildings they made from these large stones. Wow." Jesus said, Yeah, Andrew, I see them. But do you know, there will come a time when these big stones will be scattered all over the place, and there will be no more big buildings here. The temple will be gone." And so that night, Jesus and his friends were resting under some olive trees, and Andrew was still thinking about what Jesus had told him. I mean, those are kind of scary words. And so he asked him, what did you mean when you said all those stones would be scattered and all those buildings would be gone?" Well, Jesus smiled a moment, and then he looked sad. He said, "Well, you know, the people who made the temple are very proud of it. And that's okay, because it's a beautiful building. The trouble is that some people think that buildings are more important than the people who come to the temple to pray. You see, God doesn't care very much about nice buildings. God really cares about the people and how they live." "Huh," said Andrew. So when is this going to happen? Because that sounds scary. When are these buildings going to come tumbling down?" And Jesus said, "You know, I don't know. And you don't know. But when those scary things happen, always remember that people are more important than things, especially to God." Uh-huh. So that's the end of our story. Now, I wonder, what are some ways that we can help people feel like they are important? And this is not just for the kids to answer. By telling them that they're important. That's a good way.
By talking first? Yeah, like
making conversation?
Ice, you know, sort of thing. Like start the conversation.
Break the ice. Good. How else?
Don't wait for them to ask for help.
Don't wait for them to ask for help. Offer help. If they might need it, if you see someone struggling. A simple act of kindness, opening a door for someone who might have trouble opening that door. Or possibly for anyone. What else can we do to make people feel like they are important?
Sharing our toys.
Sharing our toys? Yeah.
Just letting them know we see them.
Oh, I had two things at the same time.
Just letting them know we see them and we're glad they're there.
Letting them know we see them and that they're glad we're glad they're there.
Showing love and acceptance.
Showing love and acceptance. So all kinds of things. And I know these are things you guys do because I see you do them. Even if I only see you on Sunday, I see you do them. And so I am very glad that you know this lesson already and that we will keep on living it out in our lives. So we're going to have a prayer, but before we pray, I think you heard Carolyn say Dawn's not here, so we don't have Sunday school downstairs. We do have activities at the back table, but one thing I need you all to pay attention to me, because we're at the back table and we're sharing space, I know it's hard to sit still, but can we whisper, only whisper. We're not going to talk out loud, right? And we're going to sit still. We're not going to get up and run around, and we're not going to go out the doors. Understood?
Yes, Mom.
Good. So let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the ways that people make us feel important and loved, and the ways that we feel your love in our lives. God, we ask for your help as we try and share that love with the other folks in our lives and help make them feel important, so that even when times get tough, we all know that we are loved. Amen. All right. Thank you.
Help us, Holy God, to know you. Speak to us through these sacred stories that we might follow Jesus' way, perceiving the world as you do and loving the world as you do. Amen. Our first focus lesson is Psalm 16, and it has a sung response. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I have said to God, you are my God, for you alone comes all my prosperity.
All my delight is in the faithful who dwell in the land, and those who excel in virtue.
But as for those who run after other gods, their troubles shall be multiplied.
Libations of blood I will not offer to those gods, nor will I take their names upon my lips.
You, God, are my allotted portion and my cup.
You yourself have that my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have an old heritage.
I will thank you, God, for giving me counsel.
At night also you teach my heart.
I keep you always before me.
You are on my right hand, therefore I shall not fail.
So my heart is glad and my soul rejoices, for my body shall also rest in safety.
For you will not surrender me to the grave, nor suffer your beloved to see the abyss.
You will show me the path of life.
In your presence is fullness of joy, and from your right hand flow delights forevermore.
Our second focus lesson is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings!" Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see those great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginnings of the birth pangs. May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us, setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone.
Thanks, Kim. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, this summer when I was doing a 12-kilometer pilgrimage around the Isle of Iona, we walked through a number of ruins. These are ruins of monastic buildings, a convent, something that was guessed to be a hermit's cottage. No one quite knew it was sort of that old and run down, but that's what they called it. Parts of the old abbey, too. And I couldn't help but wonder what those buildings would have looked like in their prime. Those buildings once housed Roman Catholic monks and nuns, and they'd fallen into ruin and disuse with the advent of the Protestant Reformation in Scotland. But in their prime, those communities, for all that they found themselves on this tiny little island on the west coast of Scotland in the Inner Hebrides, in their prime, those communities were thriving. They weren't always easy to get to, still aren't by our standards, but if you had a boat, you could get there easily. And those communities thrived and were artistic and made all kinds of fascinating things, and it's even thought that the Book of Kells, a book of sacred writings, might have originated from that area. This was a community that wielded tremendous power. And they had sway over the kings of Scotland and their anointing. And in fact, many of Scotland's kings have been buried there. Even the kings that we hear about in Shakespeare's writings, they're buried there. And so this was a place of power and grandeur once upon a time. But now, what's left are a few walls and a whole lot of rubble. And while these monastic buildings were likely a far cry from the temple in Jerusalem in all its grandeur, the fact is that these communities on Iona once held so much power, and that this was a place of pilgrimage for thousands of years, or 8,000 years, maybe not thousands, but 8,000 years. It has me thinking about today's readings when the disciple said, "Look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings." Now, for reference, the first century historian Josephus wrote of the temple of Jesus' day, this newly reconstructed temple with walls made of stones 40 feet long. That's big by our standards, even. The temple itself took on a space that was twice as large as the Roman Forum. And Herod the Great, who was the one who had reconstructed this temple, was said to have used so much gold to cover the outside walls that anyone who looked at it in the bright sunshine risked blinding themselves. It would have gleamed. And so it's no wonder that the disciple looked at it in awe. And Jesus' response is a little strange, not quite what we would be expecting. We know the story and how it goes, so maybe we do expect it. But if you were there in that conversation, to hear that response of, "Well, you know, there's one day that will come when this building, this grandeur, will just be a pile of rubble. The grandeur of the temple is fleeting." that probably would have left the disciples in hearing distance going, wait, what? What? What's going on? And so they waited until they were outside of that crowd and seated at the Mount of Olives to ask a question. Okay, so when? When is this going to happen? How will we know that this is about to happen? If that's going to happen, big things are changing. We want to be prepared. And it's here that Jesus starts in on a long, somewhat disconcerting answer that leaves us questioning just where the good news might be in this particular piece of scripture. After all, being told that many folks who would want to lead us astray in our journey of faith, along with predictions of wars and earthquakes and famines, well, that doesn't sound very comforting to me. The trouble is, we often feel like these words are predictions about our future. We feel like some of the things that Jesus is saying and predicting could and do find themselves on our own newscasts. The reality is that Mark's community of faith, this people for whom Mark was writing the gospel down, they had lived through the destruction of that very temple that Jesus was talking about. When they received this story as the early church, those large stones and large buildings had already become a pile of rubble by the Roman army as they decimated Judea. By the time this gospel was being written, not stone was left on stone, and the historian Josephus stated that over 1 million Judeans died in this revolt. Whether or not that number was embellished, we can safely assume that no small number of people had died. This was not a happy time. And the things that Jesus was predicting had already come to pass. And so perhaps one of the reasons this particular story was recorded was because the first century Judeans living through this decimation of their land and their temple were looking for God. Or maybe it was for members of the early church who were then being persecuted. But the thing is, we continue to tell the story over and over again because generations upon generations of faithful followers of Jesus, ourselves included, have continued to live through times of devastation. Sometimes those times include wars or natural disasters. Sometimes they include times of massive transition where it feels like the foundation of the world has shifted and everything we once knew to be true has changed. And it's in those moments that we turn to God with questions like, how can this be happening? What's going on? God, where are you in this? Because we can't find you. And so it's no wonder that Jesus' response to the disciples asking for guidance is a warning about deception and false claims to truth. It's a warning about people who would take advantage of that chaos and try to make it worse. Jesus warned his disciples and continues to warn us too, because in those moments when we feel like the ground on which we stand has been pulled out from under our feet, we start to grasp at things to steady ourselves. And we'll really grasp at just about anything that feels like it has a hope of saving us. And it's our instinct. It's normal to do this. And we do it before we stop and ask, does this fall in line with what Jesus has taught us? Is this really true? Is this what we believe as Christians? Good questions. So that warning that Jesus gives us serves as a pause. It asks us to take a deep breath, or three, or five, or ten, or however many we need, and to think about the work that we are about as part of the kingdom of God and as followers of Jesus. Jesus, after all, was leaning into apocalyptic literature as he made these predictions, and his predictions continued well after we stopped reading today. If you kept on reading, you'd get into the nitty-gritty of it all, and it's in depth. and in true form of apocalyptic literature, which Jesus would have known well from the prophets of old, these predictions sound scary. And they do, because they're addressing a people who neither want nor need the sugar-coated truth. Rather, to use the words of American author Adrienne Marie Brown, things are getting uncovered. Let's hold each other tight and pull back the veil. Those predictions help us pull back the veil and help us find where God's at work. And so as that veil is pulled off and we start uncovering those hidden truths, things shift around us, filling us with discomfort, maybe dread, even as we face natural disasters in their utter chaos. Jesus helps us to find a way and says, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Pay attention. Take a deep breath and hang on to what you know to be true. Because we won't find Christ in fear-mongering, and we won't find Christ stirring up resentment or hatred, and we also won't find Christ avoiding the hard things of life. Let's take a deep breath. Pay attention and hang on to what we know to be true. And what we know to be true is that we will find Christ in those moments, however fleeting, that spark hope and offer kindness. We find Christ in places where truth, uncomfortable as it might be, is told. We find Christ in the times where new life starts to take root and grow, knowing that even as it isn't going to make those moments of hardship any easier, or the loss and devastation better, it is going to help us grow into a new way of being. Resurrection of its own kind, if you will. So it's in these times that Jesus asks us to perceive the world around us, to shift our focus, grounding ourselves in the love and peace and grace that Jesus shared, and to imagine how what we know of God's dream for the world could look in a world that's changed. How it could look in ways that are different from the ways that we've always known. Friends, the landscape of our lives and our faith has it changes regularly over time. However, I feel like in the past 5 years, it has shifted drastically. And we're still finding our way in this new landscape. And I think we'll still be finding our way for some time to come. However, in the words of Dr. Joy J. Moore, we gather as a community of faith to rehearse this story, to practice the story, to tell the story so we know it with our bones, our bodies, our life, our breath, so that we can live it. We rehearse the story shared with us by Jesus and the early Christian community to remind us that we aren't the first to experience this kind of thing. And we aren't the first to feel this way. We tell the story precisely to remind ourselves that we are not alone. God is with us. And God won't leave us stranded here. And that, after all, is the point of apocalyptic literature. To encourage us when we face the incredibly difficult moments of life, and to remind us that this isn't the end of God's story. There is hope yet to come, since we know deep in our bones that God can do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine. So somehow, I feel like the monastics on the Isle of Iona, as they witnessed the decline of their own power and community, probably couldn't envision a time in the future where the very space they worshipped and worked might be renewed as a place of pilgrimage and transformation in people's journeys of faith. And I'd be surprised, too, if the faithful of Jerusalem who witnessed the destruction of the temple and all it stood for could imagine how those stones might have been built up in later years to make the Jerusalem we know today, with the buildings that are made up of those stones. Centuries later, we know that these things have happened, and we can find ways that God helped inspire new life to take root. help but wonder, though, where those folks might have felt God's presence and guidance. And I expect it was likely in the smaller things first, before the bigger dreams came through. And I wonder, in the times of transition through which we are living, where we can find Christ's presence as we share truth and love and live in ways of kindness and joy. And I wonder what, centuries from now, the faithful who are yet to come, the generations that follow us, will perceive as the ways that God is bringing resurrection to the world as we know it now. So may we be blessed to use our imaginations in these times and to imagine the ways that God is working in this world and the places where we might find God. And as we live in these times, may God guide us and sustain us as we do that work of imagining. Amen. Let's join together and sing, Spirit God, be our breath. Find your seats. This is the time for faith sharing. So if you have a story of perhaps where you've seen God at work in the world, maybe where you can imagine God working in the world, or something about the church or the scriptures that we've explored recently, you're welcome to come and share it now. And I suppose this is one of those days where we just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. At this time, let's present our offering. Pray. Holy God, we give ourselves to the work you would have us do, the work of our hands, minds, and hearts, the resources we have to offer, and the joy we share.
Bless these gifts, that they and we may embody your hope in this world in need of your love. Amen.
Of the people, I invite you, when I say God in your mercy, to respond with, hear our prayer. God in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let's pray. God of our past and our future, God of healing and hope, we come before you with grateful hearts, trusting that you walk with us through all the times of our lives. These are not easy times. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your guidance when things don't seem to go the way we hope. We pray today for all who are facing danger and despair. We remember before you all who are living with hunger, communities struggling with the impact of drought, storms, and earthquakes, and all for whom adequate housing seems unattainable. We remember everyone caught up in unrest and violence, and all whose lives are directed by forces beyond their control. We pray for all who are working to relieve suffering in these lives, and all who work to bring justice and peace to the most vulnerable. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are facing fear or frustration, wrestling with sorrow or discouragement in any area of their lives. We pray for all who live with illness or pain, for all who are living with chronic conditions or disability, for all who know the grief and change of bereavement. We pray for all who work to bring healing and comfort to others, and organizations which offer support and care to all who suffer. God, in your mercy. And we pray for all who feel helpless or hopeless in this time, for all who are struggling to make ends meet or find employment, for all who are working through situations of conflict at home, at school, or at work. We pray, too, for the rocks that we've brought forward imbued with the prayers of our hearts. We pray for all who offer guidance and support in the midst of such difficulties, and for all who have the skills in reconciliation and mediation to help us find our way through. God, in your mercy. God of our past and our future, God of healing and hope, help our congregation and churches everywhere engage each day with faithfulness and creativity. Where we need correction, show us a new way. Where we need love and encouragement, draw near. And whatever our challenges, stay with us on our way, for we are followers of Jesus. And we pray together in his name, saying the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join together in singing How Firm a Foundation. God's imagination and God's creativity and God's joy. And may we go blessed by God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. Amen.